And Lord, I thank you that it always performs its work in us who believe. And Lord, thank you that this morning is no exception, that this day is still the day that you made. And Father, we've never lived it before, and so we're excited and we're expectant of all the good things that you have in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning on just this very simple word that obviously is going to evoke a lot of responses. But then again, we're nothing if we're not provocative. First and foremost, the title of this morning's message is Perfect. And the question that I'm going to ask to begin with is it possible on this side of heaven? And please don't answer the question until I've given you some evidence. So that's the problem with Christians. You know, we're open and shut on so many subjects. You know, we'd like rat traps. And there's no halfway on anything. So we do want to be completely open to what God has to say. So if you open your Bibles with me to Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look down in verse 48 to begin with. Matthew chapter 5, down in verse 48. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It says in Matthew 5, 48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are to be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want you to see that God has a measure of perfection, and that measure of perfection is, of course, himself. You'd expect that if God referred to perfect, he would refer to himself, wouldn't you? Since he is a perfect God. You'd also expect that if God wanted us to live the ultimate life, he would want us to live his kind of life, because he only knows one kind of life that is the ultimate life, and that is God's own kind of life. Can you say amen? Amen. So if God wanted us to live life and have it more abundantly, he wouldn't want us to have something that was inferior or less than what he himself actually enjoyed. In fact, when God said, I want you to have life, he would have in his mind the kind of life that he himself enjoys and the kind of life that he himself has. Can you say amen? Amen. In fact, by definition, anything less than what God has is, in fact, death. Anything outside of the experience of what God himself enjoys is, in fact, death. Because what God has is what is, in fact, perfect. And anything that God doesn't have is not perfect. This is why we know God can't give you sickness, because he's never had any. Amen. God can't give you troubles, because he's never had any. The reality is that we can expect now, not only would God say to us, be perfect even as I am perfect, he wouldn't only say that, you would expect him to say that, because he would want us to enjoy uninterrupted quality of life. And sin, of course, is the great interrupter, it's the great reducer, it is the underminer of our confidence in what we become. You're the biggest miracle you know. You're the greatest miracle that you know. Now, someone's always looking for somewhere else to look for a miracle, but the reality is you're already the greatest miracle that you will ever know. And to learn to appreciate that is to, in fact, give glory to Jesus Christ. Because to underestimate that is, of course, to cast some dispute or some disparaging viewpoint upon the reality of what God has already accomplished in us in Jesus Christ. Now, you wouldn't only expect God to have a perfect requirement, but you'd also expect him to have perfect provision. It would be no benefit to us that God merely required us to be perfect and then didn't provide the means by which that would be able to be realized or be a reality in our lives. And so God would not have a perfect requirement and then an imperfect means by which that requirement would actually become a reality within us. Because then God's own nature would be disappointed by God's own lack of ability. And God knows what he wants. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God also knows how to get it.
Right.
If he didn't, he wouldn't be perfect.
Right.
You know, we know what we want, and most of us don't know how to get it. That's why we're imperfect, right? So the reality is we need to know not only what we want, what we need, but we also need to know how to go ahead and get it. Now, look carefully at the scripture. It says you are to be. Everybody say be.
Be.
Now, there's a big difference between being and becoming. God didn't say you are to become perfect. There's not process indicated by this verse. There is not a before and after. There is a constant present in the be word that is used here. Amen. In other words, this is not a changing from one degree to another and getting better and better. This is being in a condition of being the best beyond which there can be no improvement. Amen. Amen. We can improve on God. Amen. Can do better than God has done. Amen. And so we're not going to help God out. We can't improve on Him. We can't make it better than Him. We can't enjoy it. And we're not going to have what God has without God's consent. Therefore, you are to be perfect as, everybody say as. Now, this is, of course, a simile that's connecting of two ideas with the words like or as. In other words, a deliberate comparison in the English language here. In other words, God is saying you to share exactly the same perfection that I have. This isn't our best attempt at it or our best interpretation of it. This is to have God's understanding of it and to have God's expression of it as already revealed in Jesus Christ. We're not here to debate what perfection looks like. We've already seen what that is, and that is Jesus. Amen. He is completely perfect in every way. There is nothing about Him that detracts from God, and therefore there is nothing about Him that is imperfect. Whatever draws attention away from God is imperfect. Whatever draws attention to God, whatever fully reveals God, is of course perfect in every single way. So He says, therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father. Aren't you glad that He didn't say as the heavenly Father, said your heavenly Father. Identifying source is always the way to actually make sure that you're getting the right thing. And yea, He said, it's your heavenly Father that you are to be perfect as, and thank God, we know this morning, like Father, like Son, has not lost its impact, because we are not born of man or the will of man, but we are born of God, and therefore we are partakers of what God Himself is the giver of. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We want to look in verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Let's go ahead and read there. What 1 Peter has to say, I believe that if God is asking us to be something and has not provided the means to be it, then all God is doing is teasing us with His word. But the gospel is not the big tease, it is the promise of God made real in Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen.
We have not only a written guarantee, we have a living guarantee. We have a new and a living way. There is physical evidence, proof, that has been given in the person of Jesus Christ that has provided for us an unlimited access into the very presence of God. And He's such a strong guarantee that He is the anchor that keeps our soul. He is the one that guarantees. He has entered in as a forerunner before us, and He is the proof that God has given to convince even the stoniest and most difficult of hearts.
Amen.
Jesus, of course, didn't walk in victory or walk in the perfection of God as God. He walked in victory and walked in the perfection of God as a man.
Amen.
Being a man was not an obstacle. Being a man was an opportunity. And of course, when people always see problems with opportunities, we need to have the understanding that God sees opportunity with what comes along. Can you say amen? Now, obviously, there are physical limitations, but when we release the frustrating limitations of the flesh to grab a hold of the unlimited power of God by the Spirit, then we enjoy the reality of what God has in mind for us. Verse 14 says, as obedient children. Now, the word obedience here is also the same word that is spoken of as faith. Obedient children. This word says, as obedient children. Are you obedient children this morning? You know, the reality is our obedience has been secured by our trust. Whatever area of disobedience you are experiencing in your life is the result of not being fully persuaded to trust God implicitly and absolutely in that particular area of your life. And wherever Jesus is not completely Lord, there cannot be any freedom, because God alone is free by definition, and we are only truly free when we truly live like the one who called us.
Amen.
As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts. Now, conforming is external pressure. How many are we under external pressure?
That's right.
Lots of external pressure. Any day of the week, there's external pressure. Anytime you tick somebody off, there's external pressure. Anytime you got a rotten attitude,
come on, sir,
there's external pressure.
That's right.
I know all about rotten attitudes. So do you. Let's not pretend it for a moment. Isn't it amazing how we can be so offended at each other and yet love Jesus? Isn't it amazing how we can recognize how wonderful Jesus is and then forget that he's living in the person I'm offended at? I'll just let it sink in for a while. I don't see why my case should be worked over by God and you guys escape, so I'm happy to repeat it this morning so that you can get it firsthand. Amen. As obedient children, I'm so glad we never addressed as disobedient children. Oh, I know you're loving this. As obedient children, not be conformed to the former lusts. Those are passions, epithumia. They are neither good nor bad, but in this case, the context is bad. Don't be conformed to those things which drove you out of the course of which you were born into by being birthed into this new family, obedient children, which were yours in your ignorance. Remember, ignorance is what? Dumb on purpose, right? Okay. Which were yours in your ignorance. Beloved, I want you to know that ignorance is always going to limit experience. Some people are willfully ignorant. That's the dumb on purpose kind. Others are just ignorant because they haven't heard yet. Those are the ones who have not had the gospel preached to them. And others just ignore whatever they hear. And those are the ones who really fall into this particular category here. Verse 15, but like the Holy One. Everybody say, like the Holy One.
Like the Holy One.
Now this is again another simile where there's a comparison between us and God. Like the Holy One who called you, be holy. Everybody say, be.
Be.
And again, I want to draw your attention that be is not become. This is a statement of the present, current fact of how things are. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Everybody say, all your behavior.
All your behavior.
Now, what does it mean to be holy in all of our behavior? It means act like God in everything you do. Mm. Amen?
Amen.
I said, oh, great, I get to order people around. No, that's not what was in mind when this was written. God expressed in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Remember, God is a humble God.
Right.
He just has proud servants. God's the one who laid down his own. God's the one who laid down his own life for us. God is the one who gave up everything for us. And you know what? If it was me, I would have said, "Go to hell! I don't want to have anything to do with you." But not so with God.
Amen.
Amen. He assumed responsibilities that weren't his and did things even for the ungrateful and the unloving. And he laid down his life for us. And it wasn't his problem, it was ours. Amen. Basically, God said, let me leave off everything and let me work on what's going wrong in your life. I want to take care of that. I understand that God is an amazing person, if I could use the term. Because he considered our life more valuable even than his own. Because he was willing to give up his life in order to secure ours. And, you know, I know that that's an amazing thing. It's always an amazing thing. You know, you don't really start trusting. You just watch the movie flying across the country called The Young Victoria, in which Victoria, who was Queen of England, from 1838 right up until 1902. And so she reigned for 60 years. And in the story, she doesn't want to trust anybody around her because they've all tried to take advantage of her until her husband, Albert, there's a madman on the street who tries to kill her and he takes the bullet for her. And when suddenly she realizes he was willing, they'd had an argument the night before, but he insisted on accompanying her. She even told him to get out of the carriage. He refuses. He takes the bullet for her. He's gravely ill. She suddenly realizes, I can trust him because he's willing to die for me. In the same way, we need to understand that as believers, we can trust God because he's willing to die for us. Amen. We may not yet be willing to die for him. Or plenty of people are willing to die for God. Not many are willing to live for him. But that's another story entirely. But we can afford to trust God. Amen. We can afford to trust God. And so he goes on to say, he says, like the Holy One who called you, that's the standard, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Amen. Now let's continue now to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to look at another verse over there. Hebrews chapter 10. Well, before we go to Hebrews chapter 10, I'm sorry, I seem to have lost a verse here. I wrote it all down. The one I wrote down, of course, is from the Amplified Bible, which my young people told me is still the Bible, it's just louder. That's what I tell them, but they don't think it's not funny, so nice try. Okay, let's just quickly look there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It says, strive to live in peace with everybody. Wow. Strive to live in peace with everybody. And pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. These have got to be the most daunting verses that I've ever read in the Bible. Whenever I read those kinds of things, they more than concern me a little bit. But of course, Paul, when he sat down and wrote this, did not go ahead and say these things. And I know your theology or your background may say, well, we don't know who wrote it. I know who did. And somebody said, well, he doesn't mention any Gentiles. Well, of course not. He's writing to Jews. So verse 14 says, strive to live in peace with everybody and pursue that consecration and holiness without which no one will ever see the Lord. Now, he's not just saying pursue holiness, because the King James Version says pursue holiness, but the Greek says pursue that holiness. Everybody say that holiness. Oh, there's plenty of different varieties of holiness. Everybody has an opinion about it. Yeah. Amen. But he doesn't say pursue holiness. He says pursue that holiness. It's a definite article in the Greek language. It says that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Well, what kind of holiness is it that we need to have without which nobody will see the Lord? Now, if that holiness means you never failed in your life or you do everything perfectly, let's pack up and go home now, because you're all going to hell.
That's right. Come on, sir.
You don't even have to tell me that. I know that for a fact, because I know you're already blowing it. You may have already blown it today.
That's right. Amen.
And if you think you didn't, you have. So let's move right along, okay? The reality is that we are very susceptible. I'm not preaching that you become bad. Don't get me wrong, please. I am preaching that you at least be honest,
right,
which will be a giant leap forward for most of us. Okay, so he's saying pursue that holiness. This is not perfect conduct. It secures perfect conduct, but it's not perfect conduct he's talking about here, because that holiness without which no one will see the Lord must be a holiness by gift. If it is a holiness of achievement or accomplishment or of track record or of perfect history, that holiness, we don't have that holiness.
That's
The one that is required in order to see God is to go ahead and be perfect. And the holiness that he's talking about here is a better one than Moses had. Even though he saw the hind parts of God but couldn't see the face of God. It's a better holiness than the man who gazed on the glory of God and came down and his face was shining, so he made everybody panic. So they said, put a veil over your face because we don't want to look at you because you're making us scared. The Bible says that glory that he had is nothing compared to the glory that we've become partakers of. Amen. Because what he had, the Bible actually calls it inferior glory. Inferior glory, because what he had was merely the influence of the glory of God on human flesh. We don't have just the influence of God on human flesh being re-radiated. We have the glory of God himself within us who is shining forth. That is far greater, not reflected glory, real God, real deposit inside of us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's worth shouting. That'll get you up in the morning. Amen. God's able to do that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 10 now so I can just help you with this. Because if we don't get it down, and I know, you know, there's always an excess in every area. I know there's a ditch on both sides of the road. And most of us have never traveled on the road, but we are very familiar with both ditches. You know, the secret to staying on the road is never overcorrecting. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. It says, verse 9, and then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. How many know Jesus came to fulfill the will of God? So that when Jesus, you see, when we receive Jesus, we receive the fulfillment of the will of God for our lives.
That's right.
Jesus is the embodiment of the will of God for your life. That's what God intends for you and me to look like. You want to know the will of God? Jesus. You want to know the will of God for your health? Jesus. You want to know the will of God for your way you live? Jesus. You want to know the will of God for your consecration? Jesus. You want to know the will of God for the way you treat people around about you? Jesus. Anybody in doubt this morning about the will of God? So Hebrews chapter 10, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Now, what he's saying over here is if we're going to follow legal standards of holiness, we're not going to arrive at the real standard of holiness. There must be the removal of the first as inadequate, insufficient, and not meeting the desire of God for our lives in order to establish this second one, which fully fulfills the purpose and the desire of God. God created Adam with all of the necessary qualities to enjoy unbroken fellowship with God. He declared in the law what kind of what the life that God intended to give us would actually live and look like. And then he manifested it in Jesus Christ and then said, okay, you can try and do it through the law and it won't work. Or you can go ahead and receive Jesus and let him live through you and he's never failed.
Amen.
This is the fail-proof way of living a holy life. If you will let Christ live through you, you're no longer under the law. Now you've come into life. Thank God you passed out of death and you've now moved into life. Now you're not studying the law, you're studying Jesus. And when you're looking at Jesus, you're not learning about God, you are learning God. You are learning Him, you are knowing Him face to face. There's a real relationship involved. It is not being caught up with principles. It's experiencing the person. It is not merely going through ritual. It is coming into relationship. It is walking together with Him. It's enjoying who He is and what He's able to do through you. Hallelujah. He takes away the first. He takes it away. In other words, He does away with it. And then He establishes the second. And it says, and by this will. Which one? The one expressed in Jesus Christ. It is by this will that we have been sanctified Remember that holiness without which no man will see the Lord? This is two chapters earlier than that verse. It is by this will that we have been sanctified. Everybody say, have been. Not a has been, have been.
Amen, amen.
God made us something already,
yes,
which is true right now and will be true tomorrow.
Amen.
We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, let me make it quite clear. Sanctification is a process in the New Testament, but it's only for one third of the references to sanctification a process. It is two thirds of the New Testament references to sanctification are an event that took place in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to preach sanctification, we need to major on what the Bible majors on and minor on what the Bible minors on. So we must speak twice as much about the fact that it is a finished event in Jesus Christ, and then we can speak about the process when people have got the other one down. Can you say amen?
Amen.
By this will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Finished.
That's right.
Over. Done. Complete. And then down in verse 14 in that same chapter, he says, for by one offering, that is not the offering of your sorrows, it's not the offering of your promise to change or do better. It's not the offering of your feeling embarrassed, miserable, filled with shame or guilt. It is that one offering that Jesus himself brought, for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. How are they sanctified? By one offering, and by one offering he did what? He perfected. For how long? All time. For all time. How many know once time is done, nothing can change? But in the changeableness of time, he's given us an unchangeable identity. In the time, in the this time that we're living, where things can change, we have an unchanging life. Where things can change, we have an unchanging history. For all time, he has given that to us. Amen. This is good news.
Amen.
Then we'll go to the next one. Oh, I can't go any longer. We're done. Let's read one last set of verses, and then we'll just wrap it up. I'm sorry. I know that God has good things for us, but we're going to just quickly, 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and then we'll wrap it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Go to our website if you want to get the rest of this message. LivingHopeFamilyChurch.org. You go to the resources page, look up the word perfect, and that'll be the message here. Never the same, but you'll get the gist of it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Clean out the old leaven. Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Anybody have a desire to be a new lump this morning? Then you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. I want you to see, we never live towards perfection. We always live from it.
That's right. Yes.
See, as long as you're living towards it, you're still living under the first. But if you're living from it, you're living under the consciousness of having received. Amen?
Amen.
Having received. If you know that you have received, then you're going to live from what you have received. As long as you don't think you have, then you're never going to have the confidence to go ahead and live. Or you're going to live what you think you have. If you think you've got a rotten life, guess what you're going to live?
Yeah.
Clean out the old leaven,
yeah,
that you may be a new lump. For just as you are, in fact, unleavened, for Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Isn't that good news?
Yes,
clean out the old leaven. What is Paul saying to us? He's saying, don't tolerate anymore something that is not a true reflection of who you are.
Amen.
There needs to be an understanding that sin is a violation of our own person. It is a violation of Jesus Christ who lives inside of us. And it is a presentation of an identity that is not true of who we really are in Jesus Christ. Because you're perfect in Him. You really are. And I know that many people say, well, you really believe that people are perfect? Absolutely. But always, you know what happens is when we say something like that, many people just run it through how they feel at the moment. Let me check with my feelings. Let me see. Let me check with my wife. How many of you know that your feelings and your spouse is not always going to necessarily agree?
Amen.
With the idea that you're perfect. Amen.
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 The rest of you, I'll pray for liars later. Plenty of people have, you know what, you're the one that's going to have to be convinced, right?
That's right.
Yeah, you're the one that's going to have to be convinced.
Amen.
And you know, this conviction of having it produces humility inside of us, because it's not a matter, you see, real humility is not thinking less of yourself.
Right.
It's not thinking of yourself at all. Because you've got somebody else you're impressed with. Amen. In other words, you found somebody else you're so impressed with, you needn't bother with the other person, because there's somebody else who's wonderful and somebody else that is all-consuming. Amen? That's real faith, and that's real life. Praise God. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah.